We've been talking about the new identity. I love that song, Ain't No Grave, because it says that shame has come to take my name. That shame comes to take your name. And that's the whole idea of this crisis of identity. We've been talking about the blood from the face of Jesus, which is the blood that restores this divine, holy image of God. That's us. That's who we are. And so it really is a miracle. And today, anytime you can learn things, but to really change, it requires the Holy Spirit intervening in your life and bringing a miracle. If you want to change the way you feel, you act, you do, the things about you that you don't like, the only way to really change is an encounter with the Holy Spirit where He comes in and just is bigger than you are. So it's good that we have this dependence today on the Holy Spirit changing our identity. And we were talking about the changing of the name. Let's just read it again. This is what Jesus did for Peter, Matthew 16, 13 through 18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" He asked. "What do you say? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father which is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." Father, in Jesus' name, let your word become alive and living to us. Now, of course, we know that Peter's name was Simon, which means reed blowing in the wind. And he lived up to his name because he was impulsive and he tended not to be super inconsistent. And Jesus said, "Because you know who I am, I'm going to tell you who you are." So it's interesting to understand that all of us, if we are just living in our nature, our normal trying to be ourselves, "I'm just trying to be me," you're probably going to miss your destiny because you're a lot more than you think you are. God has a lot more faith in you. He has a bigger plan for you than you think He has. The world and us ourselves even minimize, constantly are minimizing who we are and what we can accomplish. But God always says, "Don't listen to all that. I have a great plan for your life, and I'm going to do something awesome in you." So that begins with this idea that God is going to change my identity, and then my entire life is going to change. So God changes, Jesus changes Simon's name to Peter. He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Let me just make a comment on that to let you understand that, of course, Peter was a guy that became great in the church, but he wasn't even the pastor of the church after Jesus. Jesus' brother James was the pastor of the church. Peter really was foundational, but he himself wasn't like the pillar of the church, like maybe the Catholic Church believes. He was a great pillar. But I believe that something more is being said here, and what's being said is, upon this rock, the rock that I have the ability to take the wishy-washy and turn them into a rock, this is the rock the church is built on. God builds the church on people who used to be goof-ups, and now they're firm, they're strong, they're unmovable, they're unshakable. God takes people, the Bible says that God chooses the weak things to confound the mighty. He chooses the foolish things like you. If you feel foolish and you don't feel like you're worthy, you're just the person God is wanting to use. Because when you turn it around, everybody knows it was God. Everybody knows, that was God that did that. I know he looks good now, but you should have seen him. And that's why the church is filled with people who are building a church on this rock, not on our own strength, not on our own talent, not on our own ability. We can never change the world in our strength and being talented and beautiful. But the testimony of those who say, I was lost, but now I'm found. I used to live in darkness, but I now live in the light. This is the rock of Jesus. God's power to take ordinary goof-ups like you and turn them into world changers. Look at somebody and say, "You're a world changer." I've found it's true either the world is changing you or you are changing the world. There is no in between. You're either becoming more worldly or more godly. You're either influencing them or they're influencing you. And God made you to influence them. God made you unshakable and movable. Those that say, I will not be moved. I've made up my mind. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I know who I am. I don't care. I might make a mistake here and there, but I've made up my mind. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to be who he called me to be. This is the glory of the church. The glory of the church is God's ability to use you. The Bible says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are not working on yourself. God is working on you. Isn't that good news? And you think, how did you get yourself this? You didn't even get yourself this far. God, working probably against you, got you this far. But he that begun a good work in you is able to finish it. The one that started this thing, look, it may take a little while, but the one that started this, the one that started working on you, he's a master builder, and he's going to finish what he, look at somebody say, he's going to finish you, and you are going to be beautiful. So don't take any mind in your failures, your fears, your weaknesses, things that you don't like about yourself, because those are not the things that are going to define you. You're defined by the words that come out of his mouth. He's the one who says who you are. He's the one who says how this thing's going to end up. He's the one that's going to decide who you're going to be and what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. All right, that's not my sermon, but I got excited about it. Now, I talked about the four principles of the new identity, and I'm going to finish today for sure. Number one, your true identity is hidden in him. From this scripture, we find out you know who you are when you find out who he is. When you have a revelation of who he is, you discover who you are. You will never find yourself apart from Christ. You were born to be like Jesus. And the more you go ahead and say, I got to go ahead and die and be like him, the more you get to be you. It sounds crazy, but that's the way it works. The longer you keep trying to be you, you'll never find you. But the moment you surrender your life to him, then you get to be you. I know it sounds crazy, but that's the secret, is that your identity is hidden in him. The further from him you are, the further you are from being you. Isn't it true? The times that you've drifted and fallen away from God, you didn't just lose your religion, you lost you. You didn't just lose your self-control. You lost who you were. You lost your identity because your identity is in him. You'll never know who you are outside of who Jesus is. The more you become like him, the more you become like you. Number two, your nature contradicts your identity. Never trust your nature. Someone said, well, I'm just shy. That doesn't mean you're not going to be great. Some of the greatest people started off shy. Well, I'm not disciplined. That doesn't mean anything because some of the greatest people started off in undiscipline. Well, I just can't. I just don't like to confront people. Some of the greatest people in the world started off afraid of people. So you can't judge who you are based on your nature. Well, in my nature, just like I'm kind of a follower. Some of the greatest leaders in history were followers. But then they had the moment, the encounter when God changed them. And so never trust your nature. We found that Simon's nature was a reed blowing in a wind, but his destiny was to be a rock. He could have followed his nature and said, well, this is just how I am. Or he said, I'm going to be who God says I am. Look at someone next to you and say, I am who he says I am. Forget about what you think. You're weird. Come on, somebody. Please don't think about, don't self-identify or you're in serious trouble because you'll be one person today and somebody else tomorrow. You don't even know who you are. You can't trust you to identify you. You have to just say, I am who God says I am, and you got to go with that. And it's true. Everyone must go through the name change. Everybody remember we talked about Jacob? His name meant supplanter, somebody who's trying to take something that wasn't his. He went through this time with God and became Israel, one that struggled with God and conquered. This is the picture of what it means to come into your identity. The blood of Jesus opens the door and says, listen, if you're willing to go for it, you can be somebody else. You can be more than you ever dreamed you can be. This is the thing that raises the human condition, that God says, you're not like your granddaddy, your cousin, your brother, your uncle. You're someone special, and you can turn this thing around. You can rise up and you can be better, bigger, stronger. You can go further and faster and do more. You can, but you got to be willing to go through the name change. Number three, Imitating him is the secret to becoming you. Now, this is, I've almost said this already, but because I said your identity is hidden in him, but I want to use this word imitating because it is the simplicity of change is imitating. Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Jesus said, I don't do anything of my own. I just look at you and imitate. This was Jesus' key to life. He said, I'm not trying to figure it out. I'm just looking at you, and I don't say anything till you say it. I don't do anything till you do it. So he said, I'm not going to try to be like me. I'm just going to imitate you. Jesus revealed the secret of his identity was his connection with the Father and his humility to imitate. So when you imitate him, you get to become you. Now, some people are like, I just want to just be me. You know, I got to really be me. You ain't ever going to be you till you imitate him. As good children, you see, my children, I remember a little Bray, when I first started getting a bald spot, I do believe it's growing back now. Oddly as it might seem, at this age, my hair's growing back. I'm just saying that, just hoping something happens. But I remember when I started getting a little bald spot in the back, Bray was standing in the, little Bray was standing in the bathroom with me, and he asked when was he going to get his bald spot. I thought he saw me with a razor. I'm sure he was thinking like, at some point, do you shave a hole there or something? But at that point, I was still denying that I had one. I was a little half offended, but he was looking at it and said, all great men need a bald spot. So he was wondering when he was going to get his bald spot. But it is, most of what you learn, and some people say, man, I don't know, I have one kid. I don't know how I could have five kids. You know, we had five, we wanted more. How could he have five? Well, you think it's harder, but it's easier. Because instead of your kids imitating you, they start imitating each other. Their big sister teaches them how to tie their shoes. You don't have to teach them all. And because you teach the first one, right, then the first one starts teaching the other ones. And your workload goes down as you have more kids. Now, it's more expensive. But the truth is, life is not, if you got one selfish kid, then you got a problem. They're going to take all your time, or even two kids. They want to be the center of attention for the rest of their life. You have five or six, they're like, you know, I ain't all that special. They get a good realistic view of what real life is. You will not be the center of attention the rest of your life. So having a big family is one of those good things because it's all about imitation. That mom is teaching how to cook and teaching how to, you know, be. And look, men, we want to tell our kids what to be, but the truth is, it's the woman that marks the nature of the children. If mama served God, the kids serve God. If mama puts God first, the kids put God first. Because they know if mama does it, it's important. They don't know what daddy might do. Daddy might do anything. But you know what? If mama's doing it, it's pretty good. And they'll go with that. Because they want to know it's reliable to imitate. And all of us, we learn how to talk by imitating sounds. We learn how to sing by imitating sounds. We watch the teacher at the board and we learn how to make marks. All of life, all of our training becoming who we are is about imitating. So if you're humble enough to imitate, you get to become you. I've had lots of interaction with street people. People live on the street and young people live on the street. And they're all so desperate to be different. They look exactly alike. Everyone I've ever seen has the same holes, the same trash, the whole thing. They're doing the same thing. They talk the same way, listen to the same music. They're so desperate to become different, they all became alike. So being different is not a virtue. How to be different? Be you. And how do you become you? You imitate him. Imitate him. Now think about it. How many of you like music here? You're music people? I'm a music guy. And I've always been a guy who loves all kinds of music. And my family was musical, and I was around music. I love gospel music. I love rock music. I love all kinds of music. And I was raised in the greatest music generation, 60s and 70s. Come on, somebody. Disco killed it all. But disco, before disco, you had real music. But the origins of music was... not the origins of pop music, I should say. The origin of pop music that we listen to. A lot of it was this guy in Mississippi, Tupelo, named what?
Elvis.
Was Elvis, right? And Elvis is a white guy who he goes to a Pentecostal church where there's clapping and music. And and he starts turning the station and starts listening to black music that is soulful. And that music was born on the in the cotton fields. It was born out of a soul that was determined to rise up and survive no matter what the oppression was. So they call it the blues. They call it R&B because it was born on a lot of it was Jesus music born on this idea that you'll never make me a slave. I'll always be free on the inside. So it had this power in it that said, I'm going to do it my way. And so a lot of that callback from the fields where one person would sing a part and another person would sing another part, a lot of that became just a guy with two or three strings on his guitar. I feel bad. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, I feel bad. Dun, dun. And everybody say, sing it with me. I feel bad. Dun, dun. Yeah, I feel bad. And so here is Elvis is listening to this music on the radio, but of course, bless his heart, he's a white guy, but he's going to go for it. So he's like, I feel bad. Oh, I feel bad. And like, you ain't sounding like them, but there you got something there. And so he kept listening to the black radio station, like, you know, and he started like, you know what, I think I'm on to something. And so he tried to imitate black people, and he became Elvis. You're like, where'd that come from? That was poorly imitating black people. That's all that was. Everything Elvis was, I'm trying to be a black person, but I just can't do it. But when he imitated them, he got to become him. And his success was an understanding that I've got to imitate something to become something. And, of course, music went on, and Elvis became a big hit all over the world. And you had these four guys in Great Britain listening to Elvis. Called the Beatles. Y'all know who the Beatles are? And so they're listening to Elvis like, oh, won't you be my little good luck child? And so they're listening to that. And so here you got these British guys who can't do it. And it comes out like this. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. With a love like that. So here was four guys that tried to imitate Elvis, who tried to imitate black people, and they changed the world with their music because they understood a simple truth. If you're willing to imitate someone else, you will get to become you. You will unlock who you are when you have the humility to imitate someone else. It's a fact. And everybody else has still been imitating that from then on. Sometimes badly. Romans 8:29, this is what it says. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now listen, man, that's big words, but listen to it. He said he knew you before you were born. And then before you were born, he gave you a destiny. And what was it? That you would be what? Conformed. Say conformed. That you would be conformed to the image, not the image you want, the image you think, the image that someone else gave you. That you would be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus would be the firstborn among many sons. Now listen, what is it saying? There's something powerful there. Your destiny is vitally connected to the likeness of Jesus in you. You can never just be you. You got to be someone imitating Jesus. When you imitate Jesus, it unlocks your destiny because it was given to you before you were born. You were destined for it. He knew you before you were born. He gave you a destiny. And the key of your destiny is your willingness to be conformed to Jesus. No two ways about it. I don't care who you are, what kind of talent you have, what kind of athlete you are. It's always the same. You must have the humility to imitate someone great to become you. Everybody say imitate. The more you are like him, the more you become you. What do I mean? I don't want it to sound spiritual. It means, you know, Paul said, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. It means read the Gospels a lot and let that be full, because right there you're going to find out who you are. Because you got to figure out, what did Jesus do when people did him wrong? Did he get mad and bitter and quit? No. He forgave and conquered. Was he a phony, a fake, a religious guy? No, he was the real deal. He spent time with God. Did he have a purpose? Yes, his purpose was to change the world and to save the world through the gospel. Was he a quitter? No. Was life easy for him? No. Did he have a connection with God? Did he pray? Yes. It's easy to say, well, I just want to be like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus? Well, just read what he did and do that. But if you're bitter and angry and mad and without a purpose and upset and confused and all the other things that people are, it's because you're not just looking at a book and simply saying, I'm going to do that. Because you're saying, well, it's not my nature. Do it anyway. Well, I'm not, you know, my family, we hold grudges. Forgive anyway. You got to understand that to be like Jesus is not some theological state of mind. It means you walk like Jesus, you talk like Jesus, you forgive like Jesus, you pray like Jesus, you win people like Jesus, you raise the dead like Jesus. All that Jesus did, you start saying, doing it. I remember, I was young. My wife and I were young, just married, and I had these prized set of boots that someone bought me in Melody, by the way, and Rose, I think, bought me in Mexico. They were red, cool boots I had. They're not red. They were almost this color. But they were cool. They were Mexican riding boots. And they were like in my prize area, my closet. And one day, I saw walking out of the closet one of my kids walking in my boots like this. And of course, you know, you tend to laugh when you see your kids walking. You're like, kid, what made them? And I thought, you know, one day, Diane, I laughed. I said, you know, the reason she's in those shoes, Diane, is because one day she's going to walk in those shoes. And she knows she might look silly right now, but she's not going to look silly 20 years from now, because that will be her shoes 20 years from now. And you might look silly trying to be Jesus right now. You might not be able to do it well, but if you keep imitating him, you keep doing the things that he's doing, you're going to find out one day someone says, you know what, you remind me of Jesus. Well, the greatest compliment that anyone could give you is say, you know what, when I see you, I see Jesus. To be loving, to be joyful, to be a person who says, I have a divine purpose to change the world. Well, I don't know if I do. You do, because you're an imitator of him. You don't have to make it complicated. Just do what he did. Just read the red. Go to Bible that has the red letter. Just read the red and pray for power, like Larry Lee said. Just read the red and pray for the power. If he prayed for the sick, I remember I kept watching Jesus cast out devils, and I was like, at church, I never really see that. So then I thought, I'm going to find me a devil. I never said it out loud. I didn't tell my wife, but I made up in my mind, oh, yes, we will find a devil somewhere, and I will find out how to jump on that devil. So one day we had this girl that was into witchcraft, who was a friend, but she was in Christianity, but she was in a lot of other things. And so I had her over to the house, and I said, Diane, we're going to pray for this girl that clearly has a demon operating her life, and we're going to just do this thing. Now listen, you want to be like Jesus? You can't play it safe. I'm just not going to do it. You ain't never going to be like somebody. Look, my grandson, he wants to sing like Elvis. You might have seen me, I put a video up of me trying to help him do, I can't help your heart. Did you see that? Falling in love. But he really wants it bad. But he gets panicky. I said, now you promise me you're going to sing at the Christmas program and I'll practice with you. And he's like, Papa, you know it was hard for you the first time too. I'm like, yeah, everything's hard, but you got to go for it. You got to be a person who said, I'm going to be just like Jesus. I'm going to walk like him, talk like him, live like him. I'm going to do the things he did, and I'm going to live this great adventure. I'm not going to play it safe with the rest of the cowards. I'm not going to be chickens clucking in the barnyard. I'm going to fly like an eagle. I might look stupid at first, but I'm going to learn how to fly. I was in another story, and I had this girl at the house. And Diane was there, and I don't know. You know, when you don't know, I had not been to Bible college. All I knew was I read Jesus. He's casting out devils left and right, and I'm like, I'm down. I am not going to be on. Put me in, coach. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm practicing without a license. Nobody taught me, so I'm just going to go to girls. Clearly got a devil, and so, you know, it's awkward when you got somebody at the house having dinner, and they're like, yo, why am I here? And then you got to bring up the demon subject. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how to approach the subject of, I think I need to cast the devil out of you tonight. There's no way, cool way. It's awkward. It's just so awkward to come up with the idea. So Diane's over here. We're just having a conversation. She's just sitting there, and it's getting nervousy and awkwardy. And I have my hand on the couch like this, and I was trying to come up with the right, why do you start this thing, the demon session? What do you do? So I just kind of put my hand on her shoulder, and when I did, her head went like this. I was like, it's on. At that point, I thought, man, I'm in. Now I can't get out. I'm going to fight my way out now. So when she lifted her head up, it was like, wow. She was like a wild animal. And this went on. I won't tell you because I want to scare you. But I'll tell you, in our little trailer, this went on for hours. I was calling the pastor, help me, Brother Lewis. I don't know what I'm doing. Can you come over, please? He said, I'll stay on the phone. Don't stay on the phone. Just come over to my house right now because we're in deep, man. We're in deep. We can't get out. Snarling, growling, knocking me all over the wall. But you know, the truth is, that girl did get set free from demons that night. She did get married. She did become a missionary. And today she's a very successful disciple of Jesus. It was embarrassing. It was not cool. It was not, you know, liturgical. I was very untrained. But guess what? End of the day, I walked there thinking like, number one, I can cast out devils. Number two, I'm not sure if I want to anymore. I'm thinking that might be somebody else's ministry after tonight. But you gotta want it. You gotta want to be like Jesus. And you gotta read it and say, I'm gonna do it. And if you do it, you'll find the great adventure. If you'll just do it, you'll find that it's not boring church. You'll find out that, like, all the men who want to do something cool with their life, living for God is cool. Going to church isn't. I love to go to church, but you got to make your mind up. I'm going to win the lost, cast out devils. I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to do everything that Jesus did. I'm going to do it. This is how you, one day someone looks at you and say, man, you know, you're like Jesus to me. Look, it doesn't get better than that because you just became you. You are hidden in him. You are hidden in him. Look at 1 John 3, and the guys are come play. We're going to have communion today. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Listen to that. I'll say it again. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. The clearer we see him, the more we become like him. There is no way to avoid the presence of God if you want to be like him. There's no way you can avoid the Bible and the words of Jesus if you want to be like Jesus. You don't have to read a lot of other books. But you're going to have to defeat that TV thing. Because ultimately, this is the real. The real has to do with a genuine pursuit. So you know what? I don't know how to start. I'm just going to get up in the morning and walk around the block and just ask God to change me. Good. Let's start there. Well, I didn't feel anything. Well, keep doing it. At some point, God's going to show up. But this is the beginning of the genesis of knowing who you are. The clearer we see him, the more we find out who we are. How do you imitate someone? Well, you read about them, but you talk to them and you ask them. It's a great mystery. And you can give up because most people do. Most people don't even try. They're satisfied to go to church and do their church deal. But for the courageous, they get to find out who they are and say, I'm going to do this thing. They'll find somebody who's like, help me, man. Help me. I want to be like that. You are hidden in that. There's no you outside of that. See, everybody thinks the purpose of God is a bother, like to win souls, make disciples, change nations. They're like, I'm trying to get rich. I'm trying to survive. And they think it's silly. You think it's silly till you step 1 foot in eternity and you realize the only thing was that mattered on this planet was what you did for Jesus. Everything else was a lie. Every moment, every minute, everything that you did outside of God's purpose was a waste of time. You didn't bring the money or the house or any of that stuff that people say is success. You didn't bring it with you. The moment you step into eternity, you know the only thing that mattered was God's purpose, becoming like Jesus and God's purpose in my life. Please don't let it take eternity to bring you to that conclusion. Step over the line. I'm a disciple of Jesus. And when a disciple is finished, he looks just like his teacher. He walks like him, talks like him, preaches like him, lives like him, forgives like him. It's the great conquest. The last point is this, number four. Told you I'd finish, and we're going to have communion. The flesh is the veil over your true identity. I don't have a coat here, but anybody got a coat? Give me that thing. That red. What is that? Okay, perfect. I'll take it. This, when you are walking in the flesh, in anger, lust, selfishness, this is a, oh yeah, let's do something like that. The Bible says, this is what you look like. This is how you look at your future. You know it's there, but you have no, you see, right now, all you can think about is the next girl that you're going to try to conquer, or the next guy, or the next pleasure, or the next whatever, because your flesh is a veil over your purpose. You don't see it. It's there, but you can't see it. You're like a blind person. Sometimes a little flake of it in a church service or some moment you have with God, you see it for a second, but then it's gone. As long as the flesh is ruling your life, you'll never know who you are. You can't see it. It's all dull. It's all boring to you. Anything talk about your future, who you are, you don't see it because you're living in this world, because the flesh, the Bible calls the flesh of Jesus the veil. And when his body was broken, it removed the veil. The flesh is the veil. And when you're living the life of the flesh, where you're just living for pleasures and food and whatever, that life is veiling your identity and veiling your future. I love this, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to read this, and we're going to pray. This was the guy. His name was Angel Colon, I think, and Angel Colon. He was one of the people in the gay bar, the Pulse nightclub, when the massacre occurred. Remember that? 49 people were killed in that massacre. And here's what he says. Our identity is not in our sexuality. It is in Jesus Christ. Angel, who survived the Pulse nightclub massacre in Orlando, Florida, where 49 died, told his harrowing conversation story, which began that night 3 years ago. He said, as I lay on the ground, shot multiple times, couldn't move, I said to the Lord, I am not leaving this building dead tonight, recounted Colin. And he had said, I lived as a sexually active gay man, but by the grace of God, I'm now married with 3 daughters. And this is what he said, laying on the ground, bleeding to death. He said, you promised me I have a purpose in life. You promised my mom that the baby inside her womb was special and that you had a purpose for his life. He said, I'm not leaving here dead, Lord. I'm leaving here alive when I do. I am going to worship you for the rest of my life. Colin kept his promise to God, traveling the world preaching. This former lifelong homosexual who thought his life was all about party and pleasure and perversion. And he had an encounter with God with 3 bullets in his body. And he said, I'm not going to die being somebody I'm not. I'm going to end up who God called me to be. I'm going to leave here who God called me to be. I'm not going to die in a pool of blood. I'm going to become who Jesus said I am. Colin kept his promise to God, traveling the world, preaching about the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. That promise was not easy at all. But look at it today, he said. Look at all these overcomers. There was 200 people who came with him to Washington, D.C. He said, look at all these overcomers here celebrating that there is change in Jesus Christ. Colin explained the true meaning of deliverance and freedom is being able to look at temptation in the eye and say, I don't want you. I want Jesus. I want my destiny. I want my future. I want my purpose. And if you're willing to trade your destiny for a few moments of pleasure, you'll have those few moments. Or some drugs or whatever it is your deal is. If you're willing to trade everything that God designed you for, what you were born for, what you look that way for, that you've been through what you've been through, all of those things, if you're willing to yield it for a moment of pleasure you'll have. But you won't have your destiny and you won't have your purpose. That's reserved for those who say, I'm going to become like Jesus. Cutting away the flesh is embracing a new destiny, an exciting life. An amazing adventure led by the Holy Spirit. If you want to make excuses for living in the flesh, you're making an excuse to be a spiritual failure. You're making an excuse that will leave you void of vision and purpose and leave you empty-handed in an eternity without God. Galatians 5 says this, and I'm finishing. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, capital S, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. In other words, if you're living in the flesh, you're totally frustrated and you're never going anywhere. You're going to be half one foot in and one foot out. You got to make your mind up. I was born to be like Jesus. I'm all in. I'm all in. This is my moment. I'm going to serve God with all my strength and all that I have. This is the Message Bible. It says that it says this. This is the version of the same scripture. My counsel is this: live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For the root of sinful self-interest is in us is that at odds with the free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical. In other words, they cancel each other. So that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way. According to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit so that you can escape the erratic compulsions of the law-oriented existence? Now, what does it say? It's saying this. God is not asking you to quit doing something. He's asking you to start living under the control of the Holy Spirit. He's not asking you to give up anything. He's asking you to give up trying to be yourself and start becoming who God made you. God is saying, if you will just say, I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit every day of my life. If you make that decision, then you're going to live a supernatural life and you're going to get to be you. It's not browbeating you about things that you do that are wrong. It is giving you the opportunity to live free. Not a boring Christian life, but an exciting adventure, constantly seeing the supernatural in your life. You can choose a low life. You can choose a miserable existence, going from one excuse to the next excuse, or you can step into your destiny by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. I know I'm right. You say, Pastor Bray, what is living in the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit spoke to me last week. I asked him because I don't want to be telling you stuff you can't do. What does it mean to live in the Spirit? It means living in a constant state of prayer. Is that what Jesus did? Get up in the morning and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not a constant state of confusion, a constant state of prayer. What do you want me to do? Living conscious of the presence of God in your life. And listen, passionately pursuing divine purpose. Not just living saying, Lord, what you want me to do? But passionately, who did that? Jesus did that. Got up saying, who are we going to reach? Where are we going to go? How are we going to shake things up? How are we going to overcome? This is what it means to be you. This is not some crazy wild Christian. This is you under the influence of the Holy Spirit. This is you living who you really are. This is you in your destiny. Every day pursuing divine purpose. Live free. To live free of the flesh is not something negative. It's something you decide, I'm like the guy laying there bleeding on the floor. I'm not going to die like this. I'm going to have my destiny. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to sit around and waste my life living a compromised life. I'm going to rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody say, ain't no grave going to hold my body down. See, this is not my decision. This is your decision. I made my decision. I've made my mind up. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to pursue my purpose. I'm going to live for great things and great dreams. We're going to accomplish awesome things. We're going to see God move. We're going to be the generation who saw revival. We're going to be the people who saw God move in Louisiana. We're going to see the people who saw God sweep all over this generation. We're going to see a whole generation raised up for the glory of God. God has a great plan for your life, but you have to just choose to get in it. Come on, I'm finished. Come on, stand up. Let's for real. I know we're a couple of minutes, we need to be leaving, but I want to take communion because I want that Jesus to get inside of you. I want that word to get in. I don't want it to be outside of you and let it slip off of you by the afternoon. I want it to get inside of you. The ushers are coming, and you're gonna begin to move out to your left, and we're going to take a couple of moments. And we're going to have an encounter with Jesus. Just go move out to your left and get the elements and don't take them. Okay. Let's take the bread. Now listen, this bread is the word that God has been speaking to you. You have to decide to receive it. You have to tell yourself and your heart, that word was for me. Now let me tell you why you're going to win. You're going to win because the cross is more powerful than your weakness. Let me tell you why you're going to win. God is never going to give up on you. Let me tell you why you're going to win. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you might have been facing defeats and setbacks. But right now, you're about to get some Jesus inside of you. Listen. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of resurrection. The power of resurrection. When you talk about ain't no grave. Listen, the reason you're going to win is because the enemy can knock you down, but he can never knock you out. Because you keep coming back alive. You just keep rising back up. No matter how hard he knocks you down, you just keep coming back up because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Come on, say, according to the word of God, the Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit is resurrection power. And even if I get knocked down, I keep rising back up. And I declare the word of God. No grave is going to hold my body down. I have resurrection power. Something in me is greater than what's against me. I declare, I receive the word of God by the blood of Jesus. I've been delivered completely from the power of the enemy. By the blood of Jesus, all of my sins have been forgiven. As I walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus is constantly cleansing me from all sin. By the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified and set apart for my purpose. By the blood of Jesus, I am justified. When he looks at me, he sees me just as if I'd never sinned. I receive, this is the first day of my new identity. My life in the Holy Spirit. I make a decision. I'm not going to die there on the floor. I'm going to be who God called me to be. I'm not going to live under the power of the flesh. I'm not going to live blind. But I've made up my mind. Every day, I'm going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I say yes to my new identity. I say yes to my new life. I say yes to the great adventure. I say yes to the amazing things that God has planned for me. I say no to the devil. I say no to temptation. I choose Jesus. I don't want the past. I embrace the future. Today, I make up my mind. Let Jesus live in me. I receive your word. Let this bread be blessed. As I take it now, I receive his word in Jesus' name. Come on, take it. Receive it. His word is becoming a shield in your mind. It's shutting off the thoughts of the enemy. It's shutting off the impulses of the enemy. And it's starting to open your heart up to the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Now you're about to take this cup. This is the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus not only is going to cleanse you of sin, but it's going to activate the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. This little cup is drinking Jesus. This little cup is the power of God. And when you receive it, you're going to receive an encounter with Jesus. You're going to activate an encounter with Jesus in your life. Your name is about to change. Your life is about to change. Everything about your life is about to change. Jesus is in you, the hope of glory. Father, bless this cup. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. We remember the price of conquest. Now let that victory be inside of us. Say it with me. Say, Lord, let that victory live in us. Thank you. Heaven is ours. Our sins are forgiven. And we receive. We live a life not dominated by our past or our flesh, but we live a life dominated by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the love of God. The passion for Jesus lives inside of us. We receive it now. Bless it. Let's take it. Come on, just lift your hands. Come on out of that grave. Come on out of that grave of defeat. Come on out of that grave of depression. Come on out of that grave of discouragement. Come on out of that grave of feeling that you can't take it. You can't go another day. Come on out of that grave. Come on out of that grave of feeling weak. You are strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Come on out of that grave of no vision, no peace. Come on out of that grave right now in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your hands. The Holy Spirit's coming on your life. The Holy Spirit's visiting you this week. The Holy Spirit's visiting your prayer time. He's visiting your Bible study. He's visiting the times that you walk with him. He's about to visit your life. Come on, you opening the door. God's about to invade your life. The Holy Spirit's about to bring you to a place that you've never been. You're going to open up the door and you say, this is my week. I'm stepping into my new life. Receive it now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, come on, give him a shout, everybody, if you believe it. Woo! God bless you.